Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Just a heads up, I can see that you've got this whole show scripted out, so
no, we don't.
Yeah, you know what? You might want to get back on point.
I am a radio icon.
Let me
see. By the way, so are you.
Hi, I'm Max, and hi, I'm Mike. Here's the Oddcast.
You are a pussy.
And why don't more people listen to us? Because most of what you say is gibberish, that's why.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Tolkoff.
Are we rolling?
Two things. One, I will admit to a mistake. Not a mistake, but here's a band that I should have paid attention to because I think they would have been great for the format, and that was Anthrax. Because they sound more punk than a lot of punk bands.
One of the bands, they covered Joe Jackson for Christ's sake. They covered Public Enemy for Christ's
sake. So I don't know why we weren't playing Anthrax.
We played them.
All right. I didn't. I wasn't paying attention.
When you were leaving 91X and you were launching the quote-unquote Edge format at BRU where was it?
Providence,
Rhode Island.
Right.
When you were launching that.
Your first client.
And you were doing all the research. For some bizarre reason, I don't know if you know this, Lenny, they did all the research for the music. Not in Providence. They did it all in Detroit.
Detroit.
So they sat there with how many people in these rooms?
Well, it was a music test, so it was like 100 people, an auditorium
100 people,
test.
And they're playing songs that were from the 91X format. And for some bizarre reason, I'd been gone from Detroit at that point for a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah. Well, no, and a long time. Longer, I think. 3 years.
I left in 86. What year were you doing this? 88.
88.
That's yes. 2 years.
All right.
So in 88, he's doing this research, I can add, and you're playing songs that I played on the radio 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years prior. And he calls me up, I'm at K-Rock at this time, and he goes, you could come back to Detroit right now. They love the Violent Femmes. You were like giving me shit about it, but like, what were the bands,
and
that you launched
way,
that format?
By the way, in unaided recall, your name came up a lot. Your name came up, people remembered you from your radio days in Detroit. I shouldn't say that, it'll feed your ego some more, but.
I'm not interrupting you. That won't happen anymore. Those people are dead now. I actually, Lenny,
all right,
love
last
this.
Thing. Wait. Can I just finish the one thing I wanted to ask him? All right, you go first.
I have to tell Lenny the story. Lenny, I got a Facebook request months ago from this guy called John McHugh, who's not the John McHugh that used to work at Elektra, who's doing films now. It's a different John McHugh, grew up in Detroit, lives in Slidell, Louisiana now. He's
the former home of?
Rossmann.
The former home of the famous salt station from New Orleans. What was it,
Lenny? Zephyr,
yeah.
See, this is where you fucking fuck me up. So this guy starts sending me MP3s of cassette tapes that he taped in the 70s and the 80s of my radio show in Detroit. And he had taken the original things and he'd taken all my voice stuff out and just left the songs. And now he's sending them to me. This is getting on 40 years. Sending them to me. You go, what's this song? And I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I played it once. It's a 7-inch from a local band because they mentioned 6 Mile. I don't know who the fuck it is, but one of them, Blotto. Do you remember the band Blotto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played a Blotto song, and it came up on Shazam. I had to teach him how to use Shazam.
Oh, by the way, you know what we should have played this morning? Maybe next week. We got to play the Dickies. Stuka's over at Disneyland. Great song.
Okay. We'll play some Dickies for you next week.
Lenny, so here's the question I want to ask you. My opinion is, to all the whiny program directors who say there's no good music in the format today, I think they're a bunch of idiots and they don't know what they're doing. If you can't find good music, you shouldn't be doing it. Do you have that opinion that there's no good music out there?
Agree or disagree?
I think there is good music out there. I think the weird part of what we've run into right now is technology itself, because no one seems to care about who knows what they're doing anymore. For all of this talk about privacy concerns, it seems like when it comes to music, no one cares. No one really, it doesn't matter, doesn't have any sort of weight. No one sits there and says, oh, I can't believe streaming service here took what I listened to and put it into a file. And they seem to be proud of it and they seem to be cool with it. And we can see what they're consuming. Now, the good news is like, wow, what a great tool to use. The bad news is wow, what a great tool to use. Because if the, I think that there's something that's great and I put it on the radio and I play it, like, let's just say 8 weeks, medium rotation, 25 times. And then all, and I look and locally there's no vibe, there's nothing there. Why move on with it? I was clearly wrong. It's not proving to be anything in the marketplace. You got to move on.
So really, so how much do you, when you're looking at Spotify charts and streaming charts and all this stuff, how much weight do you throw behind something? Because, you know, there's a few stations that did that. I don't want to say few that did it across the country where they were just like, whatever streaming we're going to play because whatever. But it's, to me, the whole thing about locale is your transmit only gets so far.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to, like, if it's huge in Sweden, maybe it's huge right. in Sweden because she got naked that week or he got naked that week in the local newspaper. And it was like, oh, let's go check this song out.
But you, but
that
but
was
here's
Tove,
the thing.
Tove Lo, right?
Right. But the, here's the thing. You can break down to your city and you could see. So I wouldn't say
so
I wouldn't
you,
make it.
Were you breaking down that far? So if it was streaming huge and then you go down and go, oh, it really wasn't streaming huge in your area?
I think you. I can get all the way down to Springfield, and I can see what streams in Springfield. I can
which,
see that.
Which Springfield? There's like 45 of them. You're
talking well, about? I'm in the one in Massachusetts.
Yes. Okay, not the one where Homer is. Where's the one?
No. Well, all right. So a writer from The Simpsons lives here in Springfield, Mass. He lives about 20 minutes north. He lives just outside of Northampton. So I think that, in theory, with The Simpsons, this is the Springfield they're talking about.
Okay.
Can't be sure. So but the, he does the, live here.
So
one of the writers.
What's the local beer called?
There's a bunch. Which one do you want?
Duff's, is that still there?
No, there's no Duff's. But there's a lot here. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's funny because, like, with Massachusetts, a lot of people think about Boston, and that's the only thing they think about. They go, oh, right. you know, how close are you to Boston? I'm like, well, I'm on the other side of the state. It's like 90 minutes away. And it's like such a foreign look that you get from people who are like, really? There's other stuff in Massachusetts? And I'm like, oh, yeah, there is.
Let me say this about Massachusetts. In 2004, the state finally passed or did away with the law that didn't allow selling booze on Sunday. Finally, you were able to buy booze on Sunday. This is a state that thinks it's 1719 and not 2019.
In Detroit, you know, you couldn't buy a car on a Saturday up until like the 80s.
Why?
That's right, on a Sunday. You couldn't go because that was the Lord's Day, motherfucker. Lord's Day, do not go buy a car on the Lord's Day. You must go to church and atone.
For as progressive as people want to, as Massachusetts likes to pretend it is,
we're still
not allowed to say happy hour.
Yeah.
Because it's longer than an hour? I don't understand.
It's the weirdest thing. It's just it's some law in the books that they haven't changed, but you can't say happy hour. Like a bar can't go, hey, we have a happy hour. It can't do it.
This is like, Boston is like, it's the weirdest let me ask you this. City in America.
Are you allowed to have signs in Massachusetts that say pre-owned cars?
I don't know.
Are there signs?
I think so. Yeah.
Are
you?
Okay.
We I can. Yeah. I'm a used car place.
I have this big argument with people because years ago I had this discussion with my father who used to do a lot of work with Cadillac. That Cadillac in the 50s realized that when they put used cars up and they'd have used Cadillacs, they used meant abused to most people. So they decided to change it to previously owned Cadillacs, and that was a big sign because previously is a lot of letters. Because it's pre and then viously. Somebody at the dealership said, why can't we just short it to Prev, P-R-E-V, period? And they did, and so Prev-owned cars. Some other guy comes along and goes, it's just pre-owned. It's not Prev-owned, it's pre-owned. But as you know, because you guys are all doctorates, you have doctorates.
We have doctorates. I'm wearing doctors.
We're doctors right now. What is pre-war?
Before gentlemen? The war.
Before the war. What is war?
During the
war. And what is post-war?
After the war.
After the war. Pre-med is?
Before med.
Before med school? Med school and then post-med, right?
Yeah. Well, doctor.
Prenatal?
Yeah.
Natal? Postnatal.
Right.
What's pre-owned?
Before you own it.
Before it's owned. So why do we fucking still have signs that say pre-owned cars and you can't say happy hour? It's post-owned cars, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you ever fucking get it. Forget it.
This is right, like having a conversation with
you know it
with George That's Carlin. Funny. It's like having a conversation with George Carlin in the '80s.
Who's your morning show there on that rock station, on that classic rock station?
Classic rock station, they're Bax and O'Brien.
Bax?
They've been in
BAX?
BAX. They've been in
You gotta call them they're in here tomorrow morning and go, listen. You're gonna have to call every car dealership and add have them add a V to the fucking pre.
Preve. It's a Prevo.
It's Prevo.
So, Lenny, how are you enjoying Massachusetts? Are you
I like Massachusetts.
Yeah?
I know. I like it. You know what? Here in Western Mass, it's not as crowded as the other side of the state.
That's
but,
true.
But it's interesting. You can get everything from a very blue-collar sort of like township like Chicopee, and then you go 25 minutes north from Springfield, and you're in Northampton, and it's like one of the most liberal places in America. And everybody's kind of mixed in the city, and it's really there's a lot of good people here, and there's a fun vibe.
You can't be truthful. Nobody listens to this podcast.
No.
I hate these fuckers in Western Mass.
Your Boston accent is so bad. Lenny, do you have a Boston accent yet? You got a decent one?
No, I don't. there's a lot of very good sort of people here, like hardworking people, and it is that part of it's really good. Now, the winter is absolutely punishing and crushing, and like I thought that Buffalo winters were bad, and I lived in Buffalo for 3 years, and that was bad. But I got to tell you, these Arctic snaps that come down here, it's like walking out of your house into your freezer.
It's technically warmer.
You freeze. Okay. So it was 2 years ago, and they were talking about like we had this cold snap. It wasn't over -5 for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah. What is your freezer at?
My freezer was at -2, and I was like sitting there going, "You gotta be kidding me!" So I mean, like that part, it's crushing. Like today, it's 98 degrees right now as we're taping this, and it's basically Satan's taint. And I'm walking around before you guys called, and I'm like, I'm just like got my arms out, and I'm staring up at the sky, and I'm going, melt me, do it. It's like, I love it. It's fantastic. But I also know that in like 45 days, it'll be like 38 degrees.
45 days? No, the first blizzard moves in right after Labor Day.
That's what you just said, 45 days.
45 days.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's like a light switch.
I just heard him say 45 days, and I just did the addition in my head, and he's actually.
Is that right? We're right
Mike,
on there?
You've spent most of your career in San Diego and West Coast.
Who, me or Max?
Yeah, you. Well,
I was born in Milwaukee, lived in Detroit from like 61 on to 70, went to school in England, which has completely fucked up weather patterns because it's on the it's on the Gulf Stream. So it can get really hot at times, and then it's mainly just kind of like Seattle-ish most of the time to describe it. And then I moved back to Detroit in like 76, and then everything went freaking haywire because we'd have these super cold snaps, huge amounts of snow, and then humid winters, and Max is going to blow his head off right now. But the point is that when I moved here in 86, I thought I was going to, I literally thought I'd be here for, 6 weeks, and then the asshole that fired me was going to go, we fucked up, bring that guy back, and I'm still here, and it's now 33 years later, so I guess I'm not on vacation anymore in San Diego. I still feel like I am.
Well, that's why they don't pay people very well here. It's the sunshine town. You get all this beautiful weather and everything lovely, so we can pay you less.
Less, and the housing is way more.
Way more.
Nick Carter thinks he's got expensive housing.
So, Lenny, you know, if you had played your cards right, you could have been programming FNX.
I had an opportunity in 2004. I interviewed there, it didn't work out.
How did you come about getting this interview?
I was in Buffalo at the time, and I remember.
Did somebody call you
at WEDG, and we had a ratings book that came out that was really good, and I got a call from Max, and he's like, "Hey, I just saw you actually have ratings." And this was back in 2004, so we've been complaining about ratings pretty much our entire lives. And he said, "Well, you kind of seem to have a handle on what's going on.
Again,
FNX is going to be looking for
concept.
Yeah. Right. So let me stop.
FNX is.
Who was the PD that had just left? I forgot.
I don't
remember.
Was it
Troy? Was it Bill Glasser? Who was right before you were supposed to be there? I don't remember now.
Well, it doesn't matter. But my question is when you're sitting in Buffalo, what did you do in 2004 that you thought was monumentally different than what everybody else was doing at other stations? What were you doing in Buffalo that gave you those huge numbers compared to?
I think that Buffalo's blessed, WEDG is blessed with a really great morning show that's been there since 1995. So I think that was one thing. But also with the music library, we cut it down to like 270 songs. And, we had a talk show in the morning and we played 270 songs. Wow, and that library really resonated and it did well.
I don't think resonating with the word, like singing at a high, because it's.
It's kind of like this. It's like how many phone numbers can you remember by memory?
Well, you know, it's funny because you don't have to remember anymore because nobody really has
phone
numbers.
My point is that you have a limited sort of like memory for certain things. And when it comes to a radio station, it's less about how many songs you play and more about the brand of the radio station. And I think WEDG has been consistently a great brand. Its song count has fluctuated through the years, like every radio station does. But when the 90s ended, and the OOs began, there started to be in that era a real severe kind of lack of hit songs. And so I felt like the ones that played a little less did a little bit better.
Right.
And I think that ebbs and flows.
Were you playing the Nixons?
no, you're right about
not the Nixons. I was playing Oleander.
Oh, my
God.
Remember
Oleander?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're right about the ebbs and flows things. You know, there were some weak years. I remember in the 80s, 84, 85, not great. 86, when Just Like Heaven came out and Lips Like Sugar, and there were a lot of great records. 87, 88 was pretty good.
Well, if you're in Simple Minds, 81, 82, 83, 84. my point was that this is one of the things that I would fight you to the death on. I think if it comes down to you waiting for a major label to walk in with a record and hand it to you and say this is it, that's when alternative stations fuck up, because alternative should be finding the shit that's on indie labels that needs to go to majors. Therefore, to take over the rest of the world, because The Cure technically really weren't on major labels until way later in their career. They were on a small label called Fiction when we first started playing them on the import back in the day. Same thing with the Smiths on Rough Trade. When they finally got signed to U.S. labels, it was still Sire. It wasn't, you know, Warner Brothers, perchance. But in 84, when you were just saying, hey, 84, Seven and the Ragged Tiger was one of the biggest records in Detroit at that time, along with Prince's Purple Rain. But you know what was beating them in the charts in Detroit? The first Femmes album. And we were the only people playing them. So I'm going back to the same thing. If you find the right records, they will stand the fuck out.
Yeah, that's always the way it's been. Because look at the early years of 91X and K-Rock. There were no maps. There were no charts to tell us what to do.
There still aren't.
Well, no, now I mean, people like, just follow the chart. But what I'm saying is that K-Rock's mission,
the
original mission was, let's go find stuff nobody else is playing and we'll make it the hit.
No, you're going finding hits that just aren't hits yet. It's right. not
semantics.
I think that's what it is. I mean, I think what you look at with a chart, it's a chart really is just for a radio stations, a chart for a format. It's just a collection of stations that they're following. There's a bunch of alternative stations right now that aren't on the chart. There's one in Lexington, Kentucky. Nobody knows about it. It's a good station, but it's not on the chart.
Let me ask you this, Lenny. When you are sitting there in the old days, I knew there were people that monitored other stations. Alex Cosper talks about this all the time. He would monitor other stations to find out if he was missing shit. The Lexington station, since it's not being surveyed, do you call them and go, what are you playing that's working?
I know Phil. Yeah, Phil Kuryansky. Kukowinski. I call him Kuryansky because I have two Phils that like I kind of mix up their names.
Yeah.
He's a young kid, young programmer. He was in Detroit as a music director for a while. He went to Wilkes-Barre for a minute, so now he's there. It's an alpha station. I talk with him. He's a good guy. I mean, it's not like I don't call him up. Like, calling up really doesn't exist anymore. It's like I'm on a text chain with him.
Okay, so you text him, you're contacting him, just like Max contacts you.
Max doesn't contact me, so let's just make sure.
So
all right, are we done with you?
To wrap this up, I do want to ask. We ask everybody this question. If you wanted to give shout outs to people that you want to give props to in this business that you think are doing a good job in radio, we were talking about the station in Sacto last week, Vince Richards Station, which we didn't mention by name. The one who's killing it in Sacramento because they have no competition. He just doesn't even have jock on the air, and he's just killing it. He's like number five in the market or whatever. Is there anybody in the world of radio that you think is doing a bang-up job? Obviously not in these major markets because it's very difficult, the major markets. But who's doing a bang-up job that you're – like if you had to leave tomorrow and you had to recommend your replacement in Western Mass, who would you be saying that this guy in Poughkeepsie or this guy in Podunk or this guy in Alaska –
I like what Jim Curdziel is doing in Buffalo at my old station a lot. I think he does a really good job.
They just put jocks on the air, right?
No, they have jocks. They're actually a very good radio station. So it's like,
didn't they just announce a bunch of new jocks? I'm just trying to think because I just saw something.
I think they hired a new music director who's a jock on the air. I don't know her name, but I think she's very good from what I can gather. Right. So, but it seems like he does a really good job.
What's happening at your
I do like what's happening in my old place. Like to me, it's like what I don't really like is like when if I leave someplace or am asked to leave, I still want to see the station succeed. Honestly, at the end of the day, I really want to see these radio stations succeed. Right. And it's like, I don't like to hear that they don't succeed or like they go through some really tough times. So I like the fact that XDX is still on the air. I like the fact that they're doing different things. It's not the most traditional thing on earth, running 83 hockey games, but they make it work. They do a great job, and they have a good staff there.
I think we have to say that Machida's got his shit locked down. Machida knows what to do.
You know, and for as much as a lot of people would know John maybe more for the WXDX thing, where John really has excelled is, you know, he's worked at DVE for the past 20 years. That's a legendary station before he walked in the door. Sometimes you can get bowled over by that. And the fact that he's actually done better with it than probably past programmers, that's a credit to him as a programmer. And I think the unfortunate part is too many people out there go, oh, it's classic rock. You play Zeppelin here, you play the Stones there, and you get like, you know, a sports team and you're good to go. I think there's a lot more than that. And I think there's a lot more that goes into it. And I don't think that there's enough credit given to people who program those radio stations. So but these
give,
are the
we're going to give those guys no, shout outs. We'll give those guys but, shout outs on this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, people I don't know at all who I'll give a lot of credit to. I don't know the woman in Minneapolis.
Christy Taylor.
Christy Taylor, I think, is a really good programmer. She programs a really good radio station, and
She was here at 91X. She is the one. I will bring this up now because nobody understands where weird things come from sometimes.
Yeah.
But she went to Australia on vacation. She's big into vacations, and she goes to, like, Egypt, and she went to Australia. She brought back Somebody That I Used to Know. She brought that song back, which became a major, massive hit. And she's been raving on her Facebook page for probably like the last 20 years about the 17-year-old Billie Eilish. She was way into Billie Eilish before anybody knew who the fuck she was. So I love her for that fact because she's not afraid to take fucking chances.
I think that's
one of the things I love about programming. Take a fucking chance, stand by it, and if she becomes huge or he becomes huge, own it.
But look at her situation. She's got a really cool station in Minneapolis.
This is her second time there, by the way.
That's cool, but I mean, she's doing a great job there, and she has to wake up every morning, and she has to deal with probably one of America's best program directors in Jim McGuinn, who's got the current. I mean, Minneapolis, as a radio market, has like some major league programmers in there, and it's like, you know, there's Derek Madden, who I don't know at all, but he somehow makes terrible active rock music work on the radio. He does a great job with that, and I think that's... That's a tough job because
it's interesting you said terrible active rock. It's more like it's terribly active because they're playing it too much. And it's
you know, I don't think like that the niche part of the format that's like active or alternative and that aren't like these mainstream right. sort of formats, you have to really know what you're doing. Active rock doesn't produce a lot of hits, and when they do, 9 times out of 10 they're a cover. So not that I'm against covers. If it's done well, it's done well, but
the sounds of silence, ladies and gentlemen.
I think Derek doesn't get any credit at all for what he does because he's a fantastic programmer because right. he makes that station sound really good. And you have some really good programmers in Minneapolis. So, like, you know, that they're a spoiled
sneakers?
Bunch.
Did that Madden guy make sneakers?
Or is that no, he does an NFL thing.
Oh. I don't know any of his hobbies. But I also, Scott Jamison programs, I think, doesn't he do like a classic rock there?
Don't go there.
No, but I'm just saying.
Minneapolis, it's like, Buffalo, you're into these hockey cities?
I just, you know, there's some good programmers.
What about KTCL? What about NERF? They're like number four in the market.
I don't know.
Denver, they do. KBCO.
But look, KBPI. Wait, Mike. You don't have to have competition in the market. There's in-demo competition, and that sometimes is worse than having
in-demo competition.
If NERF is an 18 to 49 radio station, which I'm guessing that's probably what it is, without even looking at it, that's a crowded field, and he has what does he have? KBCO there.
KBCL,
and he's got
KBPI.
Who owns KTCL now?
KTCL is iHeart.
Again, you're talking about another
KBCO.
iHeart.
Okay, so
you're talking about another city that has a lot of really good programmers in there.
Right.
So I give all those guys a lot of credit. I don't know NERF.
From what I've heard, they're all incredibly high now. All of them.
All of them all the time.
Yeah.
So all right, we gotta go. Let me just close on this because there's one shout out I have to give.
All right.
It's because Lenny is no longer the future of radio. The future of radio now belongs to Brad Savage.
Oh, I love Brad.
Brad Savage has taken your place, Lenny, as the future of radio. If there's another FNX job, I'm calling him first.
I have no problems with that happening. I think Brad's great. He's doing a really good job in Ohio. Right.
Lenny, I want to give a shout out to Keith Berman, too, who's been emailing
I don't know
me
who that
constantly.
Is. I don't know who these people are. Lenny, you've been great. Thank you for doing this today.
All right.
I appreciate it. We didn't even get to the things you wanted to tell us about the podcast.
He basically said that he cut you off a bunch of times saying, let him fucking finish the goddamn story.
It's very simple. When one of you is telling a story, don't talk until they're done, and then you ask the question. It's like a press conference. Treat it like a press conference.
I understand it's a different podcast. It's not this podcast.
See, you sound like every jock that you interviewed that did their first shift in the overnights.
Okay, let's just pretend we paused the podcast. Okay, goodbye, everybody. Good night. Now we've started a brand new podcast. Tell Max what he should do.
I think again, the thing that you guys have that I listen for is your stories have stories. Is what I said to Max when we were talking on the phone, and I said, Max, I go when Mike is talking about Pete Townsend, shut the fuck up. Don't talk. Just let it happen. Then when he's done, then ask your questions.
When he's done. See, there's the key thing, Lenny. When he's done will be sometime next year.
Now,
I just had a conversation 2 seconds ago that I want Lenny to tell you what you're doing wrong. He's telling you, and you're fucking interrupting him. So, let's start. Let him finish the story.
You should hear Halloran and Garrett together. It is unbelievable. You will shoot yourself in the head.
And this works both ways. When Max is talking, Mike's got to let Max tell the story.
Oh, that'll never
let
happen.
Let it go. My favorite podcast, and something that I think you need to go back and listen to yourself. It started off, Mike had questions to you about how you were putting together music logs at 91X when you guys were both there. And he was just peppering you with questions, and you were answering them somewhat rapid fire. But I could tell your angst level was rising as these questions were happening. But you guys let each other talk. That's what you need to do. And by the way, I can't believe I need to tell you this. You guys have been programmers for years.
I know,
this
it's crazy,
is a basic
isn't it?
Function of what you guys right. have probably told jocks themselves.
Absolutely.
Well, this has never been about being a radio show. This is about the concept of what he thinks radio is. And I keep telling him, nobody's going to listen except for, as he said, Lenny Diana, who has been our special guest today. I would like to give it up for Lenny. who is broadcasting right now from his kitchen with an amazing backsplash.
Yeah, that's a good backsplash, right?
I love, you know why I love that? Because I stop every week, I drive to San Francisco, and I stop at the Pilot gas station up at Fraser Park, and they have that backsplash, but the brown version of it, when you're pissing in the new men's bathroom, which is much better than the But the backsplash
okay, sure
is like
when he wanted
6 feet,
to know that.
No, it's 6 feet off the ground, so I'm thinking, like, I had better not be splashing up there as I urinate. Lenny Diana, thank you very much.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Tolkoff, thank you very much.
Halloran,
thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. All right,
email
Lenny, see you later.
You want. And good night, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you're listening to this podcast. And we wish you a pleasant evening. Slam the door.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.